I stood in the courtroom, the judge turned my way. It looks like you're guilty, now what do you say? I spoke up, Your Honor, I have no defense, but that that someone so guilty had just been set free. My chains were broken, I felt born again. The moment when mercy walked in.
Mercy
ladies and young ladies. Thank God for the mercy of the Lord.
Amen.
Amen. Well, you have your Bible open back to Ephesians chapter number 6, and I want to try to build on some things that we began this morning, so we'll get right into the message. I trust you had a good meal and some relaxation, had an opportunity to give some thought to what was said this morning from the Word of God. We looked at this passage of Scripture, and there's four things that we began to build around, and I'd like to mention them to you by way of introduction tonight. The first thing is we see in this passage of Scripture that we have an adversary. And we spend most of our time talking about this adversary, where he's at, the fact that he is real, the fact of the adversary. We looked at the force of the adversary, and then the foe. I do want you to take note before we get over into the armor and the attack and then the allies. I want you to notice a few things about this adversary. That when the Bible says in the latter part of verse number 11 that we are trying to take our stand, and the only way we can do that now is with the armor of God, the whole armor of God. The only way you can do that is suit up to take your stand against the wiles of the devil. The devil is real. And I cannot overemphasize, we just live in a day when people mock and laugh and scoff at that, and that is exactly what the devil wants. He wants people just laughing and scoffing when his name is mentioned. And so don't you let the devil perch on your shoulder and cause you to be one of those fools. All right? Don't do that. So I want you to notice something that I thought about that I didn't say this morning, but I thought about this afternoon as I was going back and looking at some things. Look at verse number 12, where it says, "For we wrestle not against flesh and blood." And we talked about, and I'm not going to go into detail, but we talked about the principalities and the powers against the rulers of the darkness. Don't we live in such a dark day? What a dark day we live in. And it's not just in some of these anti-God and communist countries. Brethren, it's right here. It's right here. Darkness has just covered our land. And so the rulers of the darkness. Now watch this next phrase here where it says, and spiritual wickedness. Spiritual wickedness. You know, we live in a day where, especially in America, where if you mention the word spiritual, people think good. You know, well, that's spiritual. Well, this is spiritual. Or she's spiritual. Listen, it'll be a great day in our lives when we realize that not everything that is spiritual is good. Amen. Amen. There is, listen, certainly spiritual righteousness, but I want you to notice what the word says here in verse number 12, spiritual wickedness. All right? So don't mistake in your mind now that because something is spiritual, that it's good. Angels, for example, are being worshipped. And angels, you know, well, so-and-so died and they received their angels' wings. That is so anti-biblical. Listen to me now. It's so anti-biblical. It is just another ploy of the enemy to take away the truth of God's word. He's a liar. He's a liar. And he wants you believing that perhaps that passing loved one got their angels' wings. None of that's scriptural. None of that's scriptural. So I want you to understand, we're going to get a new body, but we're not going to become angels in heaven. The Bible nowhere teaches that. And so quit praying to angels. I don't think anyone here is, but listen, this stuff is just, again, I'll just say this. I'll sum it up with this. You and I need to fix our minds on this thought. Not everything that is spiritual is righteous. There is spiritual wickedness. And we need to learn the difference as we are in this conflict. So we talked about the adversary. The adversary. And then we began to talk just a little bit about the armor. The armor. Now before I get into this, I said quite a bit about the adversary. And I want you to notice something. He is a fact. He is a force. He is a foe. And we looked at that. We covered that. But I can't leave this without giving you this truth. He is a defeated foe. Now, Satan doesn't want you to know that greater is he that's within you than he that's within the world. And so he doesn't want us to know that. And if you do know it, he wants you to know it up here and not live on it in here. He doesn't want you and I to act on the fact that we have an ally. We have a captain in this fight. Now, hear me, brethren. We have a captain. We have a strong and mighty tower. We have a refuge. Our God is a mighty fortress. Amen. That's why he said in verse number 10, look at it. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord, you see. In the Lord. Be strong. You don't have to back down from the enemy. Now, you don't go in there alone. And I don't go in there alone, but we have to understand something. This foe that is against us, our enemy, is a defeated foe. And the devil doesn't want us thinking on that. I didn't say he is going to be defeated. I said he is defeated. He is defeated. And if we will walk in the Spirit, if we will live in the Spirit, if we will get filled with the Spirit, if we will suit up in the armor, if we will take the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, if we will pray without ceasing, we can live the victorious Christian life. Say amen with me. Got a bunch of Christians laying around, listen, living like we're defeated and our foe can conquer us. We are more than conquerors through Him that loved us. And it's time that we take the battle to the battlefield. Amen. The Bible says here, and I want you to notice it, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against, and I want you to notice the wording here, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world now. I took you to Scripture and I showed you how Satan was kicked out of heaven. And he is now running rampant. Peter said that he's walking about as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. All right? And he has a kingdom. Jesus said in Matthew 12, this enemy of ours has a kingdom. And he has an army. He has a host. And the Bible teaches here that there's principalities in this army, and there's powers, and there's rulers of the darkness of this world, and there's spiritual wickedness. Now, just for a moment, before I get to the next point, I want you to turn to Colossians, because I want you to see something. You say, well, preacher, you said that the devil was defeated, but I got to tell you, when I'm fighting him, he doesn't seem too defeated. Well, that's because you're trying to fight him in the energy of the flesh. All right, you cannot fight this battle in the energy of the flesh. And I'm going to show you how to do that in just a moment. We're going to see from the Bible how we can fight this battle. You say, well, I've got the armor on. Well, if all you're doing is putting the armor on, you're going to lose the battle. Please hear me. So I've got it on, preacher, every piece of it. It's going to take more than just putting on the armor. We'll see here in just a moment what God said, don't leave out. Colossians 2, are you there? Look at verse 15. Paul writing, and he's talking about the crucifixion, talking about why Christ came, and he said that he blotted out the handwriting of verse 14, that blotted out the handwriting of ordinances which was against us, which was contrary to us, and took it out of the way, nailing it to his cross. Now, why did he do that? Are you ready? And having spoiled, here's our word, principalities. Having spoiled principalities. Here's our word, and powers. Remember over in Ephesians 6, the army of Satan, they've been defeated. Jesus spoiled them. You look that word up, it means he rendered them inoperative. Amen. Inoperative. Amen. Listen, they can roar, and they can come against, and they can oppress, and they can obsess, and for some they will possess, but they can never take you down and keep you down if you'll walk in the Spirit, suit up, pray, and go to battle. Amen. Never. You don't have to live the Christian life defeated, brethren. Amen. A lot of Christians walking around not cashing in on the resources that God has given us. God help me and God help you not to do it. He said here in verse number 15 that Jesus, when he died on the cross, when Jesus died on the cross, when he fulfilled the will of God and he cried out on that cross, it is finished. Thank God he spoiled, listen to me now, he spoiled principalities and powers, and he made a show of them openly, triumphing over them in it. Praise God. Praise God. Listen, the news is out. Satan is defeated. Satan is defeated. Christ is victorious, brethren. I'm glad, I'm glad I'm on his side. I'm glad I'm on the winning side. I said, I'm glad I'm on the winning side. Amen. Amen. Well, I tell you, we live like that this thing, that we don't have a choice, that we just have to accept defeat and lay down and let the devil walk all over us. So I'm here to tell you, as a spokesman for God, as a preacher of the gospel, standing on the truth of this book, that you and I, that we, as an army of God, as children of God, we do not have to live a defeated, discouraged, doubting, unbelief way of life. We can walk with joy unspeakable and full of glory. Amen. We can live in victory. And this is our victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. Amen. Back in Ephesians chapter 6. So we have the adversary. The adversary. Say, preacher, you got a little fired up there. Hey, I got to tell you, if you can't get fired up about this, then you're about half dead. Right. I'm telling you, we're in a war, brethren. Right. This is war. Now, I get charged up. I was brought up in a very competitive atmosphere. So what'd you do, play a lot of ball? No, I was brought up in a home with brothers and sisters. Amen. Played a little ball, but most of the competition came from my brothers and sisters. Amen. That's right. You ever fought over the last biscuit? Then you know what real competition is. Especially when grandma made them. Say amen with me. So, the adversary. Now let's look at the armor. Now I'm not going to go in detail. I just want to give you some words that I hope will whet your appetite. I hope it will whet your appetite to where it'll cause you to say, I need to look into this a little further. That's my prayer. Listen, that's my prayer. That somehow that God would use me to say something, to give you a word that would say, I need to look in that a little further. I need to know more about this armor. I've heard it preached. I've read through it, but I've got to look into this. I've got to have this armor if I'm going to be victorious. I've got to put it on. Now, there's two things. I said at the close of the service this morning, I want you to look at it. Look, if you would, in verse number 13. Well, let's look at verse 11. Put on the whole armor of God. He said, put it on. The whole armor now. And I want you to think about this word. And then you look down in verse number 13. He said, wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God. There's two words I want you to think about right here just for a moment. Holy. Not H-O-L-Y. Not first. W-H-O-L-L-Y. Holy. You see, I think the problem, and I've faced this, I've failed. This is where I've made a mistake. There's times that I'll have on some of the armor, but not all of the armor. You ever made that mistake? It's a mistake. Now, there's nowhere in the Bible that says that you and I is going to win this fight by just taking some of the armor. Paul said, if you're going to win this fight, our enemy is so formidable. Now, hear me now. He's so formidable, this enemy that we have, it's going to take the whole armor of God. So I want you to think about that word, H-W-H-O-L-L-Y, holy, got to take the whole armor, and then this, of God, capital H-O-L-Y. It's got to be holy. It can't be just any armor. Are you listening? It's got to be the armor of God. You say, preacher, I'll fight the devil. Where's he at? Let me at him. I'll charge hell with a water pistol. Yeah, you're going to go down too. You won't be the first that went down charging without God's assistance. You listening? You're no match for the devil. But with Christ, in the whole armor, and through prayer, I'm here to tell you on the authority of the Word of God, you can have the victory. You say, I feel like I'm in prison, preacher. I feel like that I've been locked up. I feel in prison. I feel in bondage. I'm getting ready to tell you how you can be delivered. As a Christian, there are Christians in bondage. They have brought themselves back under the yoke of bondage. They are living, as Peter said, that they've forgotten that they were once purged from their old sins. It can happen. And that is what the devil, the enemy, wants to do to our lives as believers. You know, I thought about this. The devil is a defeated foe. Now he is. That's not an opinion. That is a biblical fact. The devil's a defeated foe. The devil can't get, listen, I think sometimes when we think of equals, we think of, you know, positive, negative, good, bad, God, Satan. Not at all. Not at all. Don't you let Satan get that in your mind. Not at all. God, all-powerful, creator. Satan, power. I didn't say all-powerful. I said power. Created. See, so don't you think that we're running neck and neck here with our captain. We're not. And so we have to be real careful when our minds, Satan can sow seeds and he can get our thinking, which we're going to talk about in just a moment. That's why he gave us some armor to help protect us from that. So I want you to think about that. Holy and holy. Got to put on the whole armor. The whole armor. Now Satan, he can't defeat God. He's defeated. Satan's defeated. He can't defeat God, but I'll tell you what he can do. How many parents we have? I want you to raise your hand real high. Y'all be proud of your parent. I'm so proud I'm a parent. God bless me with four good children. Amen? Amen. And I just want to go ahead and put this out there too. You can put your hand down. God's been blessed our children with four good mates. Not each. Amen. We're not polygamous. I'm so glad for my sons-in-law and my daughters-in-law. Listen, they're special people. And I believe they love God, and I believe they want to do what's right. I've got some of the most precious grandchildren. Say, oh, preacher, you ought to just spoil them. I'm not going to spoil them. We didn't see in the Bible where the word spoil is a negative word. I want to set an example for them. I want them to see granddaddy serving Jesus with his life. I want them to see that granddaddy's got something real. Are you listening? That Papa means business with God. That Papa knows what it is to get a prayer through so that they can get a prayer through when they need to get a prayer through. Amen. The devil can't touch God. But just as he did that old sorry, listen, he is an old sorry slew foot. He went in the presence of God and he said, I want to get to your child, Job. Can I tell you, he wants to get to you. That's where the devil wants to get to God. He wants to get to his children. Now the reason I ask you, if you as a parent, I want you to know how this thing works. And I think you already know how it works. I just stood back there tonight and told somebody, listen, people call me names. They talk about me behind my back. And I can't say it doesn't bother me at all, but I just move on from that stuff. But you start messing my children now. Hey, man, come on. You start messing my children and grandchildren. Well, that's a little different story. Say amen, folks. You say, oh, not me, preacher. Yeah, I know. See, that's the way the devil is. The devil knows he's no match for God, so he's going to try to mess with God's children. And he's doing it too. But here, God said, I want to tell you how you can defeat that old sorry somebody. He said, you take into you the whole armor of God. Let's go down here and just look at it. I'm going to give you a word for each one of these pieces of armor, and I hope that it'll lead you into a little bit of a deeper study. Notice number one in verse number 15, he said, Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth. Now, I told you this morning, these are spiritual words. This is spiritual armor. Truth, spiritual. When I think of truth, this is the first word that comes to my mind, integrity. Integrity. Truth is not just something you tell, it's something you live. Listen to me now. We got folks living double lives. One way at church, one way at work, one way at home, one way with the boys, one way out here. Hey, can I tell you, God sees it all. God sees it all. And here the Bible says, if you're going to defeat the devil, if I'm going to defeat the devil, I'm going to have to take this girdle, this belt, if you would, which holds things up, which holds things together. And can I tell you, that's what truth does. That's what integrity does. We need some people with some integrity again that'll stand for what's right. Do the right thing. Oh, preacher, I can't. No, it ain't you can't. You won't. It's not I can't. I won't. I have a choice. You know how much I sinned yesterday? As much as I wanted to. Amen. You say, I don't like when it's put that way. I don't either, but it's so. I have a choice every time I decide to do wrong or every time I decide to do right. Well, I can't help it, preacher. Yes, you can. Yes, you can. The moment we began to take responsibility for our actions out of the equation, we're going to go crazy. That's what's wrong with our world now. That's what's, say, hey, listen, folks. You say, I don't know about that, preacher. Well, this book will tell you about it. We're going to answer to God for our actions. And we have a choice. And he said here in verse number 14, having your loins girt about with truth. With truth. Just as wrong to live a lie as it is to tell a lie. Truth. Integrity. Did you write that word down? Integrity. I pray to God that God would raise up some young men and young women of integrity in this church. I look around and I see these young men and young ladies, and I praise God for them. I do. I praise God for them. Say, preacher, they're not perfect. Well, we're not either. I've told you a long time ago, the reason there's no perfect children is because there's no perfect parents. Amen. And so we need to just love them and pray for them and set a good example for them and live some truth and preach some truth to them. Truth. Then look at what he said in verse number 14. He said, and having on the breastplate of righteousness. And you know that breastplate, you know it protects the vital organs. Now here's where the devil's going to try to get in. He goes for the kill, the quick kill. You better put this breastplate on. Righteousness. This is spiritual armor now. Spiritual. Righteousness. That's a spiritual thing. You listening? Truth is spiritual. Righteousness. This is spiritual. What is righteousness, preacher? Well, there's two forms of righteousness in the Bible. There's positional righteousness. All right? Where when you got saved, when I got saved, we are in Christ. We have positional sanctification, positional righteousness, because we're in Christ. We have the righteousness of Christ. Isn't that what 2 Corinthians 5:21 says? Amen. Amen. It says that we exchanged our sin for His righteousness. That's right. But then there's practical righteousness. All right? There's practical righteousness, which means that I choose to do right when I do right. Now, God will enable me. God will help me. The Spirit of God will help me. And when I don't do right, the Spirit of God will smote me in my heart. What about you? If He doesn't, I doubt you're saved. I'm telling you right now, when I have the wrong thoughts, the Spirit of God will say, you need to get those thoughts out of your mind. When I have the wrong attitude, the Spirit of God said, you need to get rid of that attitude. When I do the wrong thing, the Spirit of God said, that wasn't right. How many of you with me? He said, if you're going to defeat the devil now, you're going to have to get concerned about some righteousness. Are you concerned about truth? Are you concerned about righteousness? Are you? He said, am I? He said, right here, this is the way you're going to defeat the enemy. Truth. Righteousness. Now look, if you would, in verse number 15. Now there's so much more here, But I'm just giving you words. Truth, integrity, righteousness, purity. Oh, I know we live in a day where that word, oh, preacher, purity, purity, absolutely. God wants us to be pure. He does. As a matter of fact, if you're looking for Jesus to come, 1 John 3:3, the Bible says, every man that hath his hope in him purifieth himself, even as he is pure. It helps you to stay pure and focused, doesn't it, brethren? See, God's concerned about how we live. It seems like that we've just forgotten or dismissed the fact that we're going to give an account of our lives. Every action, every deed at the judgment seat of Christ. Talking to you about the armor now. We have an adversary. And the way we're going to defeat him is to take into us the whole armor of God. The whole armor. Truth. Truth. Why? Because Satan's a liar. Righteousness. Why? Because he's a lewd. He is a lewd, low-living somebody. That's why. You want to defeat the devil? You want to defeat a lie? Defeat it with truth. You want to defeat low-living, immorality, promiscuity? Purity. All right? So the first two words, truth, integrity, righteousness, purity. Now look at this next word, peace, in verse number 15. And your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Listen, that's a spiritual word. It's spiritual. Peace. We have peace with God, right? Through our Lord Jesus Christ. That's what justification is. We get peace with God. And then once we get peace with God, then we can experience the peace of God. Is that what the Bible says? And Paul wrote over in Colossians that y'all allow the peace of God to rule in your heart. You know what that word rule means? It's just like an umpire. It ought to make the call. Ought to make the call. Now, why did he say this? I want you to notice this. Don't miss this now. He said that our feet, boy, feet are important, aren't they, when you're in a battle. There's two things about feet in a battle that you and I need to really take note of. Stability. He said, having done all to stand, stand. Stability. Peace is going to help you to stand. Now, why did he say peace? Stability. You know something else about the feet? Mobility. Mobility. Right? God doesn't want us to stand around. He wants us to charge the gates of hell. Read the scripture. He wants us to get the gospel out to all the world. He does. God doesn't want us just standing around like some form of trophy. I'm a trophy child. No, you're a Christian. You're an ambassador. We're representatives for Christ. We're to go out into the streets and the lanes, and we're to compel people to come in. We're to take the gospel. Peace. What's the word here? I wrote this word down, tranquility. Have you ever seen a day where so many people are up in arms about everything? Anxious, worry, discouragement. Peace. See, the devil wants to discourage you, doesn't he? He wants you worrying. I've said it so many times, and I'm going to say it again. Worry, it seems to be the sin that Christians accept. If somebody were to sit around and say, boy, I tell you, I'm just committing. Last night, I just stayed up all night committing adultery. I just stayed up all night getting drunk. We'd look at them like, what in the world are you talking about? But when somebody says, I just stayed up all night worrying, we say, come here, let me give you a hug. Right? We've accepted worry. Can I tell you, Jesus said it was a sin. Paul said you ought not to be anxious. Be careful for nothing. Is that what he said, brethren? Is it? Yeah. And yet, we can stand around a water cooler or come to church, and it, like I said, if we say, I stayed up all night last night doing this sin or that sin, we'd kind of look at folks like, hey, man, you need to get down and pray. Something's not right here. We can come to church and say, I'm worried to death about this. Come here and let me give you a hug, you poor thing. Hey, listen, worry's a sin. It's the work of the enemy. It's the work of the enemy. He wants to discourage you. He wants to discourage me. He wants to take your peace that God gave to you. And he wants you worrying about things. And he wants you discouraged. That's the enemy. He said you need to take into you the whole armor. Truth. Here's the word I want you to think about. Integrity. Are you a person of integrity? When people think of you, when people think of me, when people think of us, do they think of us as people or persons of integrity? I pray they do. Then second of all, righteousness, purity. Purity. When people think of us, do they think purity? Now there's a pure young lady. There's a pure young man. There's someone that's concerned about purity. Oh, preacher, I ain't concerned about purity. That's why you're defeated. That's why the devil jerks you around everywhere. That's why, listen, are you listening to me now? That's why your prayers are not getting answered. That's why you're getting defeated. Huh? Peace. Tranquility. Are you at peace? Are you at peace with God? Are you at peace with the brethren? Are you at peace with yourself? The Bible teaches that when we take into the whole armor of God, this is important. Peace. Then look at the next word. These are spiritual. These are spiritual. Look in verse number 16. Above all, taking the shield of, here's a spiritual word, faith. Faith. I'm talking to you about the whole armor. I think sometimes people think, well, you know what? I'm going to read my Bible, and I'm going to say a prayer, and I'm going to go out and conquer the devil. Oh, no. No. Right here's the way you're going to win the battle. God put it in here. We've got to get concerned about truth. Living truth. Telling truth. Integrity. We've got to get concerned about what's right. Presenting Christ. Letting Christ live in me, dying to self, crucified with Christ, and letting Him live through me, His righteousness, making right choices, doing the right thing. You know, every day, brethren, in your life and mine, we're going to have to make choices, aren't we? Sometimes it's to do good or bad, right or wrong. We're going to have to make the choice for purity, do what's right, righteousness, then peace, peace, tranquility. Don't let the devil discourage you. Don't let him cause you to worry about things that, listen, somebody said worry's like a rocking chair, right? Keeps going, but you never get nowhere. Just, it's something. It's just something. Discouragement. The devil wants to discourage you. Now, doesn't he? If you've been saved any length of time, you know what I'm saying is right out of this book. The devil will discourage you. Try to make you feel that you're nothing for God, that God doesn't love you, that God's people doesn't love you, you have no friends, you have no purpose in life, and you may as well just crawl in a hole and die. That's the devil for you. That's the devil. He wants to take you peace through discouragement. Now look at this next one. Faith. Faith. I want you to think about this word. Certainty. Certainty. The devil wants you to doubt. It says here in verse number 16, verse number 16, above all, taking the shield of faith wherewith you shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. Just wanting you to doubt. Doubt what the preacher's saying. Doubt what your parents are saying. Doubt what your authority figures are saying. Doubt what God says. Read the Bible, and then there'll be the devil perched up on your shoulder. Now, do you really think that happened? Yea, hath God said. Right? Does it to all of us, brethren. Does it all of us. You can be reading the Bible, and here he comes. Devil will read the Bible with you. Sure will. He'll try to interpret it for you if you let him. Listen to me now. Faith. Faith. How do you get faith? Faith cometh by, and hearing by, getting the word. Faith. Faith. Faith dispels doubt. Got a bunch of folks that doubt everything. Doubt. Folks get saved, I doubt that'll last. Somebody gets right with God, well, I doubt that'll take. Purchasing property, God's gonna build a new ministry over that. Well, I doubt that'll happen. See, doubt. Doubt. Always doubt. Some of these young folks get on fire for God or get called to preach, well, I doubt that'll last. You know? Somebody stands up and says, God's called me to the mission field. Well, I doubt they'll ever go. Listen, doubt. Doubt. It's a tool of the devil. And the only way to defeat that is faith. All right? Certainty. If God said it, stand on it. Stand on it. Say, well, I don't understand it. You can believe it whether you understand it or not. There's a lot of things I don't understand. But if God said it, I believe it. Faith. Now look at verse number 17. Take the helmet of salvation. There's a good spiritual word. You know what a helmet's for, right? Protects this. This is important. This is where much of the battle was fought, Right? I said faulting. That's not a word. I'm just going to stick with fault. Right here. The devil wants to get in your mind strongholds. Right? Sow seeds in your mind. Remember when Peter confronted Ananias and Sapphira? He said, "Why has Satan filled thine heart to lie unto the Holy Ghost?" Right? So the devil can't put thoughts in my mind, preacher. He put them in Peter's. As a matter of fact, Jesus looked him square in the eye and he said, "Get thee behind me, Satan." So he shouldn't have called Peter Satan. Peter was a saved man. He wasn't talking to Peter. He was talking to Satan that was trying to influence Peter. He'll try to influence your thinking too and my thinking. Right up here. It's important. Here's the word I want you to think about, mentality. What type of mentality do you have? Do you have a winner's mentality? Do you have a trust Jesus mentality or me mentality? I'm going to do this. You're not going to get much done for the kingdom. Now, you might get much done for your cause or for the cause of man, but if we're going to get things done for the kingdom, we're going to have a God mentality, a Jesus mentality, a he must increase and I must decrease mentality. Right? The helmet of salvation, the helmet. Protect your thought life. Listen to me now, brethren. I can't spend much more time on this, but I can't tell you how important it is not to let things get through right here. And right here. You know why? They go right in here. Boy, once they get in there, it's really difficult to get them out. Right? The mind is a powerful thing. I mean powerful. It's amazing. I mean amazing. I hesitate to even say this, but I'm going to say it if it'll help somebody. I can be in a Walmart or a department store somewhere and hear an old stupid song that I used to like 35, 40 years ago and remember every word of it. And if I'm not careful, I'll be walking down the aisle of some place tapping my foot and kind of moving my lips to it. And I'll catch myself and say, "God, I'm sorry," and look around and make sure nobody saw the preacher singing one of them stupid songs. He said, "Well, you shouldn't say that, preacher." Well, if it'll help you, I'm glad I did. That's the devil. That's how powerful this right here is. I like to memorize Scripture. And many of you do too. Boy, if I could just recall some of that Scripture like I could some of that silly stuff that I learned when I was lost, I'd be in good shape. Amen. Amen. Boy, I tell you, it's real, isn't it? You put that helmet on. Don't leave home without the armor now. The whole armor. It's important. Say, "Preacher, I got this." Can I tell you, there's just so many Christians living a defeated life. Just sad all the time. Just no purpose, no meaning, no direction, no aim, no ambition. And it's because that mentality right there. I'm all right. I'm all right. You good with all right? The Bible says we ought to strive for the excellency of the knowledge which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. See, that's our problem. We're celebrating mediocrity. We're celebrating mediocrity. I don't do drugs and I don't drink. And of course, I don't pray and win souls and have a burden for lost people. I can't tell you the last time I've cried over somebody dying and going to hell, but I'm all right. See, that's our problem. That's our problem. We're all right. We're all right. We just sing about praising God for His greatness. Can I tell you, God's looking for some greatness out of us. He has instilled some things in us that He wants to see come out. But it's not going to come with that attitude of, "I'm all right. At least I'm in church. At least I'm not doing the things I used to do." That is bare bones minimum. And we seem to be okay with it. I'm not fussing or complaining or attacking. I'm just stating we need to get serious about this whole armor. Let me give you a couple more and I'll close, all right? Look, if you would, in verse number 17. He said, when you take that helmet of salvation, he said, take the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Now that, again, is spiritual. All these are spiritual. I've got them highlighted. Truth, integrity. Righteousness, purity. Peace, tranquility. Faith, certainty. Salvation, mentality. All right? You've got to have the mentality that I'm saved. I'm God's child. And I am more than a conqueror through Christ because He loves me. I am going to live from victory that he won at Calvary. All right? That's the armor. The attack. The attack. And I'll combine these and I'll just give you a few things in close. All right? Look at the attack. Taking to you the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. A lot of people stop right there, but that's not where Paul stops. Look at verse 18. Pray. See, the Word of God and prayer always go together. I want you to listen to me. See, the sword of the Spirit speaks of our offensive weapon. But then Paul said this. He said, now you can have all of this, but don't forget to pray now. Don't forget to pray for you going to battle. Right? Right? You can have truth and righteousness and peace and faith and salvation and have the Word of God. But now prayer is what's going to put it all to work in our lives. It really is. I cannot overemphasize the importance of prayer. As a matter of fact, I find it so important that we learn what it is to just steal away and find some time to get into the prayer closet. Could I encourage you? Could I implore upon you? Get to Jesus. Get to Jesus. The devil wants you to quit praying. You listening? The devil wants you to quit praying. Some of you already have. I'm sad for that. Oh, listen, I struggle with prayer in my life. I do. The devil he wants me to just to give up this ministry and this source of the armor of prayer. The devil doesn't want you praying because he knows that's where it's at. That's where it's at. Prayer. The attack. Sword of the Spirit. James said what? Submit yourselves, therefore, unto God. Resist the devil, and he'll flee from you. How am I going to resist the devil? The way Jesus did. Remember this morning? It is written. It is written. The Word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. Get this Word in your heart and mind and begin to use it. Begin to use it. You ever quote a scripture to the devil? Yeah. That's right, brethren. Say, preacher, I'm not going to talk to the devil. Well, I think it'd be okay if you told him a few scriptures to get him out of the way so you could go and serve God with your life. Amen? The Word of God. Prayer. Prayer. I'll come back to that, but I'm going to say this about allies. Aren't you glad we're not in this by ourselves? I'm glad I'm not an army of one. Look what Paul said here in verse number 18. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints and for me, that utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am ambassador in bonds, that therein I may speak boldly as ought to speak, but that you also may know my affairs and how I do. Tychicus, my beloved brother, a faithful minister in the Lord, shall make known to you all things. He said, hey, listen, we're all in this together. We're on the same team, brethren. We're on the same team. You say, why do you say that? We need to know that. When you're going through a hard time, you need to get some folks praying for you. That's right. I think sometimes we're not careful. Our prayer requests will be for, well, pray for this one, they're hurt, pray. And I'm not minimizing that. But sometimes we'll say, hey, pray for me. I'm struggling a little bit. Right? So if I do that, people think I'm struggling. Well, are you? Amen. If you're struggling, get some people praying for you. Don't let pride take you down. Listen. We're in this together. We're in the same army. We're on the same team. We're allies. We're not enemies. Now, why am I saying that? Because there's some folks here that I'm just 100% sure you're in a different place in your life. And this is the way I'm going to close the message tonight. And don't you miss this. I look across this congregation and I see some good, and I mean when I say good, I mean good, saintly folks that have run their race. And they can't stand on the front line anymore. I want you to take your Bible and turn to 1 Samuel chapter 30. God laid this on my heart as I was coming to church tonight. You familiar with the way 1 Samuel chapter 30 reads? Huh? You know how important prayer is, don't you? You go through the scripture and you'll find where Moses, when he lifted his hands, the Israelites prevailed, right? But when his hands went down, the Philistines prevailed, right? Or Amalek prevailed, right? Exodus 17. But you're going to 1 Samuel 30. That's how important prayer is. Had to sit him on a rock, and Ur and Aaron got on each side, and they raised his hands. Praying, brethren, praying is important. Here's a passage of scripture in 1 Samuel chapter number 30. We're on the same team. We need to be praying for one another. I went to the doctor this past week, and I had some tests done, some x-rays, and the doctor was listening to me, and I know she was noticing that a lot of things I was saying when it come to working out was in past tense. She just kept looking like, you know, I think I'm seeing a pattern here. All right? Yeah, well, are you exercising? Well, I used to walk 4 miles a day. Well, what kind of activities are you doing? Well, I used to play softball and basketball. And after a while, she just quit writing. I mean, you know, this used to stuff is not cutting it. That's probably why you're sitting over here seeing me. And I said that for a purpose. When I walked on the treadmill, brethren, I can't tell you, and I'm not saying this to sound spiritual. I don't pray as much as I ought to, and I'm ashamed of that, all right? But I do pray, and I pray for you. And when I walk on the treadmill many times, I call your name out in prayer. I do. I'm going to start back because it helps me to pray. I can get focused. Now, as bad as out of shape I am about the first part of my walk, I can pray for you. The second, I'm going to have to pray for me to finish my walk. Amen. I'm serious when I say that. But find you something. We need to find something to where we can just focus and hone in on the importance of a prayer life. I cannot overemphasize how the devil will fight our prayer lives. And I think you know what I'm saying, so. He's fighting yours just like he's fighting mine. We just got to steal away in the morning, get in that secret place, or, you know, lunchtime, get away from the guys and the crowd, and just pray. Pray. 1 Samuel 30. The Bible says that the Amalekites went in, and I'm just going to highlight in verse number 1, they went in and they just ransacked David and his 600 men, his camp, and they took their wives and their children. You've read this? No doubt you have. I've preached on the life of David. I've preached this. But I overlooked something. And so when David gets back, I mean, he's moved. And the people, they rose up against him. And this is where we get that scripture in verse number 6, where the Bible says at the end of verse number 6 that David encouraged himself in the Lord his God. What a wonderful, wonderful verse of scripture. And I believe he was just praying and meditating on the person of God and what God had done for him in the past. And it just really encouraged him that his God had never left him and he wasn't going to leave him now. I think it does us all good to do that, don't you? And then the Bible says that they were going to go back after he inquired of the Lord and he went to the priest, and they were going to go back. And the scripture says in verse number 10, don't miss this now, but David pursued, he and 400 men, for 200 abode behind, which were so faint that they could not go over the brook Besor. They were faint. They were weak. They were worn. You know, at times in our lives, we all get there. David made a very wise decision. He said, you stay here. You stay here. And you guard the fort. In case they circle back around, we're going to go and we're going to track them down and we're going to get what they took. And that's exactly what they done. But I want you to notice what the Bible says here. Because I'm speaking to somebody tonight, you say, preacher, I'm tired. And I'm worn. And there was a day that I fought. But now I need somebody to help me fight. I can't fight like I used to. I need some help. I want to tell you, I'm your ally. We're your ally. We ought to stand beside you. Hold your arms up. We ought to be the first ones to go to our brother that has fallen, brethren. Oftentimes, we just pass them by like the priest and the Levite. Just pass them by. And David looked, and he went. And when he went, the Bible says when he came back, he took the spoil. You read this sometime. He took the spoil, and there were some men. Let me find this now. There were some men of Belial. Let me find it here. In verse number 18, the Bible says, and David recovered all that the Amalekites had carried away, and David rescued his two wives. And there was nothing lacking to them, neither small nor great, neither sons nor daughters, neither spoil, nor anything that they had taken up to them. David recovered all. And then the scripture says that these men of Belial, in verse number 22, when he came back, he saluted those 200 that stayed behind that were weak and faint. And there were some people within the camp that said, we don't like it that they didn't go. They should have went and fought with us. David said, I made a decision that they wasn't going to go. He said, I made the right decision. They said, we don't think we ought to share with them. Look at what it says here now. In verse number 21. And the Bible says that David came with his 200 men, which were so faint that they could not follow David, whom they had made also to abide at the brook of Besor. And they went forth to meet David and to meet the people that were with him. And when David came near to the people, he saluted them. Then answered all the wicked men and men of Belial of those that went with David and said, because they went not with us, we will not give them all of the spoil that we have recovered. Say to every man his wife and his children that they may lead them away and depart. Just let them go away. We don't need them anymore. They're has-beens. They're no good to us anymore. Isn't that what they're saying? That's what they're saying. Let them go their way. They're no good to us. Can't fight. But I want to show you the wisdom of David. And I pray to God that as a pastor, and I pray to God that you, and we as a church, will always maintain this attitude. When our brethren are weak, when our brethren have been overtaken, that we will take them in and minister them. Now, I'm not saying coddle sin and excuse sin, but I'm saying that there's times that people get to a place to where they need assistance. And notice what David said. David said in verse number 23, then said David, ye shall not do so, my brethren, with that which the Lord hath given us, who hath preserved us and delivered the company that came against us into our land. For who will hearken unto you in this matter? But as his part is that goeth down to the battle, so shall his part be that tarried by the stuff. They shall part alike. I like it. I think about us being on the same team. We're allies. And I think about some of the folks, some of the elder that can't go to door-to-door visitation anymore. Can't do it. They're just not physically able. Can't do it. There's just times that we have to kind of adjust our ministry. And we can't expect everybody to always be on the front lines. Now, some of you young people, you need to listen. You need to suit up and let's go to war. Let's go to war. And some of you that feel like, you know what, I can't do that anymore. Well, I'm going to tell you what you need to do. You need to tarry by the stuff. You tarry by the stuff. Amen? You pray for us. You pray for your preacher. You pray for your deacons. And you pray for your Sunday school teachers. You pray for your church body. You may not be able to go out door to door. And you may not be able to do some of the things that others can do that maybe one time you did do. But you can always pray. Always pray. Don't ever minimize and underestimate the power of prayer. Let's all stand. The adversary. He's real, isn't he? The old devil. I'm glad he's defeated. He didn't like me telling the truth on him. You pray for me. I've been fighting some battles. Hey, amen. I'm hurting all over. Amen. You think I'm carrying on, but I'm serious. Can't sleep at night. But you just pray for your pastor, all right? As long as God gives me breath, I'm going to tell the truth on our enemy. And I'm going to exalt Jesus my Lord. Jesus my Lord. You want to do it? You pray for me. You pray for one another. You pray for some of these folks that are on the last part of their journey. and you ask God to help them go out in victory. Go by and shake their hand and tell them, thank you. Thank you for many years of serving God with your life. I look at Dr. and Mrs. Thompson over there, and Brother Larry and Bowden. My goodness, what warriors. Warriors, brethren, warriors. Brother North, Sister Virginia back there. I'm telling you, we're blessed. Sometimes I think it'd do us good just to stop by their way and say, listen, I want you to know that I appreciate your faithfulness. I appreciate your testimony. There's some folks in here, I think of my own mother-in-law. Sister Putt, never missed church services. Brother Walter, Brother Dan Wright. I mean, they're here clockwork. They're prayers. They're people who pray for this congregation. Sometimes we look at the folks that are running about and up here on the platform and over there the music, and I thank God for every one of them. Don't misunderstand me. But it's people like this that are behind the scenes. They're not up here. But I'm going to tell you where they are. They're in the prayer closet, and they're praying for this ministry. They're praying for you, and they're praying for me, and I thank God for them. The armor's a wonderful thing, but as the songwriter said in Stand Up for Jesus, when you put the armor on, put on each piece with prayer. Prayer. It's very important.